Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. FIFA President Gianni Infantino is giving top marks to Russia for its hosting of the World Cup football tournament ahead of Sunday's final between France and Croatia.
Since a couple of years, I was saying that this will be the best World Cup ever. Today, I can say it with more conviction because I lifted and you lifted. It is the best World Cup ever.
During a news conference Friday in Moscow, Infantino also thanked Russian President Vladimir Putin, the Russian people, and others.
I would first of all like to thank everyone which was involved in the participation in the organization of the World Cup. Of course, the main actors are those on the pitch, the players, the referees, the coaches, but then also all those who have operated around to make sure that everything works smoothly. The Russian people, a big, big thank you to Russia. Spasiba Russia. Thank you very much. Big thank to the Russian government, President Putin, of course, the local organizing committee, the Russian Football Union, everyone who was involved in this country to make sure this World Cup would be the best ever.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino also voiced support for the video assistant referee system, which made its World Cup debut at Russia 2018.
There were 19 reviews in the 62 matches, so around one review every 3.5 matches. There were 16 decisions changed. Changed means from a wrong decision to a right decision. So when you check a vocabulary and you go and check the word progress, progress means to make things better, to improve things compared to the past. This is progress. This is better than the past. VAR is not changing football. VAR is cleaning football, is making football more honest, more transparent.
That's Gianni Infantino, the president of World Football's governing body, FIFA, speaking Friday in Moscow. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Meanwhile, FIFA's technical study group for the 2018 World Cup is also talking about the month-long football festival ahead of Sunday's final. Reporter Samson Omale has that story and more from Moscow. Sporty World Cup greetings, Samson.
Sporty World Cup greetings to you, Sonny. FIFA's technical study group, consisting of a lineup of world-renowned football experts, which include Carlos Alberto Pereira, who is the head of the TSG, Marco Van Basten, Bora Milutinovic, Emmanuel Amuneke and Andy Roxburgh, have been given an assessment of the competition so far. The FIFA Technical Study Group has been deeply involved in analysing the matches of the 2018 FIFA World Cup and have been speaking on their findings so far. Carlos Alberto Pereira said all through these years there have been a lot of changes both on and off the pitch.
Through all this year, there was a lot of changes, a lot of transformations in and out of the game, in and out of the pitch. One thing did not change at all is the talent, is the quality, is the skill, is the passion for the game.
For his part, the former Nigerian international winger, Emmanuel Amuneke, said the 2018 World Cup was a disappointment for African teams because the expectations from them were much higher.
There was much expectations from African teams, and a lot of people were expecting African teams to progress beyond what they have done previously in the last World Cup, but unfortunately, it couldn't materialize. The truth is that we all are aware that football has developed a lot and football will continue to change. And we in Africa, if we don't embrace the responsibility and seeing how we can develop our youth, will continue to live on dreams. And the reality is that dreams without plan is just an illusion.
The excitement, the thrills and fun continues at the 2018 World Cup here in Russia as we get into the final days of this year's World Cup. The World Cup is all about exciting memories of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that you take and, of course, make the most out of it. And I came across a father and a son who took the long trip from Mexico.
Hello, sir. What's your name?
Alberto Martinez.
Okay, where are you from?
From Mexico.
I can see that you're here with someone who looks very much like you. Who is he to you?
He is my son. He's 20 years old. Just graduated from a high school. He's going to go to college. And I think, like, you know, this is a great, great experience for me and for him to come over here in Russia and the World Cup. We right here, we like it. We love it. Getting to know different people, cultures, color, I mean, languages. I mean, just the World Cup unites people, you know. It don't matter, like, you know, where you come from, color, languages. It just means, like, you know, happiness. Enjoy it because it's so wonderful.
Crisscrossing like 2-3 continents to get here, a lot of resources has to go into it. How many years did it take you to plan, you know, to put the money together to sponsor not just yourself, but your son, and both of you are making it to the World Cup?
It wasn't that easy. It takes a lot of, like, you know, courageous, I mean, money, time. I could say, like, you know, it took me, like, you know, 2 years or 3 years to be here. But my main purpose is to feel the power of the people, you know, the emotion, you know, football all over the world.
I understand you went to see the game between Nigeria and Argentina in St. Petersburg. And I was there. And tell me, why did you make it to see that game? And how did you see that game? And of course, you had some interesting time with a Nigerian and all of that. Will you want to tell me your experience?
Well, you know, I mean, we got to St. Petersburg without ticket, you know. But mentally, we got there to get in the game. To go see the game live, okay? So we decided, like, you know, to look for a ticket, resale ticket. Well, finally we found somebody, like, you know, a Nigerian guy, you know, he's young, I mean, nice people, man, you know. We started, like, you know, talking, doing business, you know, I mean, like a businessman, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, we set up a deal, you know, he showed me the ticket, we set up the price, how much, well. Finally, the price was, you know, I can't really say the price, you know, dollars, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, the funny thing was, like, you know, I gave him the money, he gave me the ticket, and the ticket is for my son, Albert, you know, to get in, you know. Well, he went through, like, you know, first checkpoint, he went through, second checkpoint, he went through, but he couldn't go through the third checkpoint. He got caught because, you know, the ticket was for the disabled people, you know. So the security guard asked my son, where's the wheelchair guy? You know, where's another ticket? You know, what's going on? Okay. So, Luckily, like, you know, the security guard asked my son some question. How did you get the ticket? Somebody gave it to me, donated to me, and he got kicked out. But I told him, like, you know, I bought my ticket, I went in, and I tell you what, my son was in, and we communicate, and he told me he got kicked out.
I am Samson O'Malley in Russia.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. There's more than one World Cup taking place this weekend. The London Stadium, venue for the Olympic Games of 2012, will host the athletics version. The world's top eight track and field nations will compete to win the Platinum Trophy, with the added incentive of a total prize pot of $2 million. The energetic Andy Edwards has been surveying the field and talking with the USA's team captain, Queen Harrison.
The event brings together some of the best athletes in the world, while also marking 100 years since the first women in Britain were given the vote. Each winner's medal commemorates the women's suffrage movement, and the USA team captain, high hurdler and world championship finalist Queen Harrison sees parallels in how opportunities for women athletes have grown in the past 50 years.
I do believe that the sport has moved on for opportunities of equality for women, for sure. Us all playing in the same field of play, men and women, I think it's important to show that that's how our world is. Men and women, they're intertwined throughout our daily lives, so it only made sense for it to come into the sporting arena. With this being 100 years marked from the end of the women's suffrage movement and over here in the UK, which is extremely important even for me as a U.S. citizen, because I feel like it was one of the things that helped pave the way for us in the U.S. about 2 years later. And so just for us to connect sport and women's athletics with such an integral movement in UK history, I'm excited to be a part of this event.
Each men's and women's discipline is a straight final, with one athlete from each nation competing. To mark the centenary of women's suffrage in the UK, each team is captained by a female athlete, and they include Jamaica's double Olympic sprint champion, Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, and South Africa's record holder for the 100 metres, Karina Horn. The winning team will take home both the platinum trophy and $450,000 in prize money. But for the USA team captain, Queen Harrison, this is also a prime opportunity to demonstrate what women can achieve in sport and beyond.
Things definitely have changed. As an advocate for women's rights and equality, I think that it's really important to understand that women can do all things and everything, the things they put their mind to and the things that people want to put limitations on us to do. So for us to showcase that in sport, whether it be running a marathon when they said we could not, or to run world records and to hurdle and into pole vault, things that they were saying women should not do, I think it's important that every time I step on the track, I show younger girls and all the other girls on Team USA that women can and do accomplish all things.
World Cup football may not be much of a guide to what is usually the quintessentially individual sport of athletics, and the USA are clear favourites for the trophy, while France, finalists in the football version, will be hard-pressed to capture top honours. For the Sunny Side of Sport, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Football World Cup in Russia has generated excitement all over the world. To sample the pulse of East Africa, reporter Prince Nesta called Nairobi, where he reached Kenyan sports journalist Sean Cardavillas.
Hello from Nairobi, where it's been absolutely brilliant in terms of the World Cup, the excitement has just been something else. And of course, there's been drama after drama in this World Cup year. It's been very, very exciting here in Nairobi, along with the rest of the world.
Your take on England's loss to Croatia?
Yeah, that was a tough one to stomach. I'm an England supporter, actually, to be honest, and I've been supporting England. You can look at it two ways. It was always going to be difficult against Croatia for England's young line, the second youngest squad in the World Cup. And so it's been a great run for them. You can look at it the disappointment of it, but I think they only had, what, two shots on target the whole match. So when you look at it, and particularly in the second half when Croatia really piled on the pressure, you could see that there was almost no way out for England once they equalized. And then once that second goal went in extra time, that was curtains for England. But you can also look at it the other way, that, you know, they were pretty much written off before they set foot in Russia. So for them to make it to the semi-finals is a great achievement. On the other hand, Croatia, what a great story, a population of 4 million people. So a great story there in terms of conquering adversity, because that was their third match in a row that they played 120 minutes plus. So you've got to wonder what's going to happen now. How do they recover for the final? And not forgetting that France themselves have had one extra day rest. Well done to Croatia in advancing to their first ever final.
Sean, people had actually predicted that Belgium would be a tough nut to crack against France, but France won that particular match. What's your take on that other semi-final match?
Yeah, that was two quality teams. They were talking about it being the final before the final. Belgium, I mean, you know, they had made their way through to the semi-finals deservedly with some quality players in that squad. You look at people from Lukaku to even Azar was brilliant in that match and very unlucky not to score for Belgium. But France, on the other hand, as well, they're no pushovers. The 1998 winners, and, you know, well-deserved by the most unlikeliest of scorers, Umtiti, who's actually a defender. But what a great header that was. And in the end, France, tactically, particularly with their defense, just making it so difficult for Belgium to penetrate them. And France, deservedly, I would have to say, in the final, and they look like they're going to be red-hot favorites in that final against Croatia, but it should be a great final.
So far, are there any standout player performance that you've seen, especially for the teams that are going to the final?
You know, before the World Cup started, we were thinking of the likes of Ronaldo, Messi, you know, the big names who really sort of failed to inspire their teams past. I'm looking at particular performances, and I'm looking at, you know, unlikely names, guys who have suddenly broken through. Look at young Kieran Trippier, who scored that amazing goal for England. You know, you look at different people, you know, Eden Hazard, how unlucky. For me, I think he would have been the player of the tournament. But then you look at France as well. France has so many great players in there. Croatia, probably Luka Modric, he's been absolutely brilliant. What about Mandzukic as well? He was instrumental as well in inspiring them with that brilliant goal in extra time. So yeah, there have been players, probably if you were to really push me or to twist my arm, I would have to say, you know, Luka Modric, to drag this team, who had no chance at the beginning of the tournament, but to drag them all the way to the final, it's got to be Luka Modric for me.
Sean, what's your prediction of the final?
I think it might not be as close as people think. I think it's going to be France who will take it. I think Croatia will push them initially, but then I think fatigue might sort of get through them. If they can hang on into the second half, either level or a goal behind, and they do score, then they might have a chance of pushing France all the way. But if France get that early goal, and even if they get another goal after that, I honestly think France will be too classy and too good for Croatia in that final. But as we've seen, this World Cup has proven a lot of people wrong. You know, Croatia will have a lot of heart. And one of the great stories of this World Cup has been their Prime Minister, who has been at so many matches and even going into their changing rooms as well to inspire them. And she said she's going to be at the final. She's going to be there with Macron, with the French president, at the final. And she's going to be a unifying factor for those players. And I really think they might just find something in reserve. But, you know, I think in the end, I think it's going to be France that takes it and wins that second World Cup title after 1998.
Finally, your parting shot.
Well, it's been a great World Cup. I've got to give credit. VAR has been a big factor in this World Cup. Well done. So, yeah, let's hope that VAR is going to be fine-tuned even more by FIFA. Let's utilize that. But for Africa, it really is time for them to clean up their act. There's a lot of soul-searching that needs to be done by the Confederation of African Football. What do we do about African football that really suffered in this World Cup? You know, dismal performances, it has to be said, by the five teams that represented Africa. You know, a lot more is expected by them, and all going out of the group stages. So a lot of soul-searching needed for the African teams. It really is time for them to clean up their act.
That's Kenyan sports journalist Sean Cardavillas. And Sean spoke from Nairobi with reporter Prince Nesta. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, we have news now about Saturday's Wimbledon women's final from my VOA colleague Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny, and welcome back. Well, sports fans, the stage is set for the women at Wimbledon. American Serena Williams, going for her 8th Wimbledon trophy and 24th Grand Slam title, will face Germany's Angelique Kerber in Saturday's championship match. Serena powered past Germany's Julia Görges in the semifinals to win in straight sets, 6-2, 6-4. Afterwards, Serena expressed her amazement at returning to a Grand Slam final just 10 months after giving birth.
I had a really, it's no secret, I had a super tough delivery. I lost count after like 4 surgeries because I was in so many surgeries. And it was just routine. Every day I had to have a new surgery. And because of all the blood issues I have, I was really touch and go for a minute. And I actually didn't know until after my agent, actually Jill, who's actually more of a friend, but she was saying that it was how much stress it was. And I'm glad no one told me at the time I was going through that.
This year's final will be a rematch between the two women. Serena and Kerber faced each other at Wimbledon 2016, with Serena winning the title. However, Kerber claimed the Australian Open title against Serena earlier that same year. Serena said people may not have been watching Kerber very closely in this tournament, but she has.
I feel like she's been playing really well, and, you know, a lot of people haven't been, I don't think in the beginning of the tournament, looking at her, but I feel like she's, I think grass is her best surface. She plays so well here, and she knows how to play on this court.
And Serena says Kerber is not to be underestimated.
This is her second final in 3 years. That's wildly impressive, and believe me, I know she wants to go out there and win, so... And so do I. And I think it'll be just like the last final. It was a really good final. I think it'll be another good final. And hopefully it'll be a good result.
Kerber returns to her first Grand Slam final since winning the U.S. Open in 2016. On Thursday, Kerber gave a solid performance against Latvian Helena Ostapenko with a straight set victory, 6-3, 6-3. After the match, Kerber said she's glad to be headed to the finals.
A goal when I start this year, you know, to playing good in the majors, in the Grand Slams, and to reaching the finals again, it's a great feeling. And it's still one more match to go, but I think for me it's great.
This is Kerber's second Wimbledon final, and she says she hopes this year's match will play out differently than in 2016.
It will be a new match. I know that I have to play my best tennis to beat her, especially on the grass, on the center court where she won so many titles here. But I'm looking forward to playing against her. I mean, it's always an honor to playing against her.
As in past years, the women's final is expected to attract millions of viewers. And this year, that will include royalty. On Thursday, Kensington Palace announced the Duchess of Sussex, Meghan Markle, along with sister-in-law Kate Middleton, will sit in the royal box at Center Court to cheer Serena on. Serena and Meghan have been friends for years. You may remember Serena attended the wedding of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry this past May. Serena learned about Meghan's planned attendance during her Thursday press conference, and Serena said their friendship has not wavered.
We've always had a wonderful friendship, and she, every year for a few couple years, comes out to Wimbledon and has supported me, and now she's supporting me in a different role. So, but our friendship is still exactly the same. We always have supported each other and, you know, just been there for each other through a lot. So, I look forward to it.
The Wimbledon Women's Championship match will take place at Center Court on Saturday. And that ends the week. Enjoy Wimbledon and the World Cup. And Sunny, have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Sunday's World Cup football final between France and Croatia is a rematch of a 1998 World Cup semifinal. 20 years ago, the French beat the Croatians 2-1 at the Stade de France near Paris. The French then went on to beat Brazil 3-0 in the 1998 World Cup final. Finally, here in Washington, the new 20,000-seat Audi Field will stage its first Major League Soccer match on Saturday night. Wayne Rooney and DC United will host the Vancouver Whitecaps. Audi Field is located not far from our VOA headquarters here in Washington, and it's close by Nationals Park, the home of the Major League Baseball team, Washington Nationals. DC United officials are hoping the recent acquisition of Rooney and the opening of the new stadium will help spark DC United to some better performances. Right now, DC United has 2 wins, 7 losses, 5 draws, and 11 points. That's the lowest point total in MLS. And that wraps up the July 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
This month marks the 7th anniversary of the emergence of South Sudan as a nation. In a press statement, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo extended the United States' best wishes to the people of South Sudan. But what should have been a day of celebration for the African nation, rejoicing at the start of an era of greater peace and prosperity, did not happen. For the third year in a row, Independence Day celebrations were canceled because of the devastating conflict which is imposing great suffering on South Sudan's diverse citizens. As Secretary Pompeo wrote, they have already paid a heavy price for their leaders' divisions, driven from their homes, facing life-threatening hunger, and subjected to unspeakable cruelty. The conflict in South Sudan started in 2013, 2 years after the country gained its independence from Sudan. It began as a power struggle between President Salva Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar. Thousands have been killed and millions displaced by violence. A number of ceasefires and a 2015 peace agreement between the warring parties have been broken. Earlier this year, the United States imposed restrictions on the export of defense articles and defense services into South Sudan. The U.S. does not directly sell arms to South Sudan, but the ban prevents any U.S. company or citizen from providing military equipment or defense services to the warring factions. The U.S. has called on all nations to halt the flow of arms into the country and to stop supporting actors who are working to destabilize it. Secretary of State Pompeo noted that talks between the parties are continuing. He emphasized that South Sudanese leaders must make the tough choices to put aside narrow self-interest and put the needs of the nation first. We call upon the government of South Sudan and all parties to the conflict to immediately stop the bloodshed and genuinely resolve their differences through dialogue that reflects the voices of a broad spectrum of society. Only when the fighting stops can South Sudan begin on a path towards inclusive economic growth and genuine reconciliation. The United States remains a friend of the South Sudanese people, Mr. Pompeo said. We stand ready to work with responsible leaders who are willing to deliver the peace, opportunity, and justice the people of South Sudan have long awaited.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This weekend, I bring you an exquisite listening experience. I have new music from artists like Le Berger and Kirani Ayat. Classic hits from Yondo Sister and Hugh Masekela. Feature interviews and news with friends from Kenya.
Hello, everybody. Ni Juliane. And I'm in the Music Time in Africa with Heather Maxwell on The Voice of America.
All this and more on Music Time in Africa. Join me. Tune in this Sunday and the following Saturday at 15 and 2000 Universal Time. Catch you then.
A U.S. report on the state of religious freedom around the world indicates many countries are openly hostile to minority religions, where adherents face harassment, prison, and even death because of their beliefs. On Press Conference USA, we speak with Christina Arriaga, a vice chairwoman of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. Listen for it Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.